It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now we want to switch our attention to a couple of local teams today that are fighting for playoff berths. And the first one being the Wild. Can they hang on? Can they get to the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs? And right now we're pleased to be joined by Jess Myers from the Pioneer Press. Jess, good to visit with you.
Hey, Steve, how are you? I'm spending a rainy day at the hockey rink, so what could be better, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's 70 and sunny. It's like I'm going into a rink. I know you would do that anyway, but today is the kind of day where you don't mind being indoors. I would rather be at the Xcel Energy Center than outside at Allianz Field tonight.
Absolutely. Ooh. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and this should be a good one. It's kind of in a unique situation for the Wild, kind of doing a home-and-home here with the New Jersey Devils here tonight in St. Paul against the Devils. And then turn around Monday, they play in Newark against the same team. And John Hines said it's almost a little bit of a preview of what playoffs are going to be like, where you see the same opponent over and over, and maybe a good little prep for a team that's putting itself in a pretty good position to make the playoffs now, especially after that big win on Thursday against a Washington team that's been one of the best in the NHL all season.
Well, and Jess, a huge win considering how much each point means to the Wild if they want to get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. That was a gigantic win.
Absolutely. And, you know, everything's getting tighter at this point of the year. You almost can't help but be a scoreboard watcher, especially when you look at what St. Louis has done. You know, they made the midseason coaching change. They brought in Jim Montgomery. They've gotten relatively healthy. Now they're adding Jimmy Snuggerud to the mix for a team that's already won 8 games in a row. It's kind of fun to see and kind of nipping at the heels of everybody in the Western Conference, this St. Louis team that kind of came out of nowhere because there weren't a lot of expectations for them early in the season, but they've got Jordan Binnington in goal. He's playing great. You know, he backstopped Canada to that win in the Four Nations faceoff. So here come the Blues, and hold on, because they're charging hard.
Yeah, and by the way, a goal differential, for what it's worth, positive, plus 16. The Wild, the only team other than the Columbus Blue Jackets above the playoff line at the moment with a negative goal differential. That's unusual.
And you know what's weird about that is some of the games the Wild have lost, you know, they win these tight 3-2 games or 4-2 games where they get an empty net goal, and then Edmonton or Vegas or somebody like that will come in and beat them, you know, 7-2 or something like that. So
Right. It's
maybe a little deceiving because they've had a couple of games that have just kind of gotten lopsided on them. But this is a team that, generally speaking, plays pretty good defense, you know, and that's what you want come playoff time is you win with defense, and you know, if you can score some goals, that's great too.
All right, as we get ready for this 5 o'clock start on a Saturday night at the Xcel Energy Center, the Wild and the Devils, any updates on Kirill Kaprizov? Is he skating? Is he getting anywhere near skating and getting ready to return?
We walked into the practice rink this week, and for the first time in seemingly forever, there's Joel Eriksson Ek on the ice. There's Kirill Kaprizov on the ice. They're working hard. They're looking like guys who are raring to get going. Now, officially, they started skating this week, but frankly, they looked like guys who had been on the ice before this week. They didn't look, you know, taking those tentative first strides or anything like that. When pressed, the Wild admitted, you know, they have been doing kind of some rehab skating just with trainers. So this is their first time really back on the ice in full equipment doing drills, stuff like that. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. 3-game trip in the New York City area coming up after today. Monday they play the Devils. Wednesday they play the Rangers. Friday they play the Islanders, all of them on the road. John Hines has said those two guys are coming on the road trip, but he doesn't expect them to play yet. One of the great lines of this week, you know, he said they're still week to week. And Mike Russo, my friend who writes for The Athletic, said, yeah, but you're running out of weeks. So that's the problem. You know, 9 games left in the regular season as of today. So if these guys are going to get back in the regular season and make an impact, you would think it's got to be pretty soon.
Yeah, so there's that for the Wild. And as they try to get in, the numbers are still pretty good. They played 73, as you pointed out. Vancouver, the first team out, they've played 73, and they have 81 points. So 6 in the rearview mirror of the Wild. A team that might be a little bit more of a concern, the Calgary Flames. They've only played 71 games. They have 2 in the hand, and they have 79 points. So it depends on what they do with those games in hand. But the Wild just have to find a way. A point or two is all they're looking for over the final 9, and that should be, you know, averaging a point over the final 9 should be enough.
You don't want to look too far ahead, but I glanced at the Wild schedule coming up in April. They've got this 3-game road trip to the New York City area, then a couple home games, and then get this, Steve. You mentioned Calgary, you mentioned Vancouver. The Wild go to Calgary and Vancouver for a back-to-back, I think it's a Friday-Saturday game. You know, those could essentially be elimination games, depending on how things shake out here in the next week and a half or so.
I do want to get an update. You mentioned Snugger who joining the Blues. That means the Golden Gopher men's hockey team is out. They went to Fargo. They go to overtime. There's a lot of hand-wringing, gnashing of teeth of the officiating late in the game. Nevertheless, I would have to say for this program, in the history of this program, an early exit in the NCAA tournament is not acceptable.
First time a Bob Motzko team has gone one and done in the NCAA playoffs. He's taken them there 5 years in a row. Obviously not happy with anything that transpired in Fargo the other night. You mentioned the officiating. That was very controversial. A couple of key no calls, and UMass scored on those no calls. There was a moment where Liam Soulier, the Gophers goalie, broke a skate lace, which takes a while to repair because you got to take out the old lace. You got to unhook pads. You got to rehook pads, all of that. Yeah. Referees just wouldn't give him time to do it and said, no, you can't. You have to put in a different goalie. So they're forced to switch goalies, put in Nathan Airey cold, and literally 5 seconds later, UMass scores on their first shot. You know, that was controversial. It's like, hey, this is the NCAA tournament. Can't you give a goalie a time to get his equipment right? Whatever. Bottom line is you're up 3-1 in the third period. You got to win that game. You know, there's no excuses for that. Even with the questionable officiating, they were a stronger team than UMass and just, you know, made key mistakes at key times. Bob Motzko said going into that one, we can't beat ourselves. And frankly, there were moments where there were self-inflicted problems, and they're done for the season as a result. Disappointing, obviously, for a team that won a share of the Big Ten title, and they had designs on going a lot deeper into the playoffs. And now you're seeing a quick revamp of their roster in the fact that Jimmy Snugger yesterday signs with the Blues. Earlier this morning, Sam Renzel and Oliver Moore both signed with the Blackhawks. They're going to be playing tomorrow night for Chicago already. And this afternoon, Matthew Wood signed with the Nashville Predators. So those are 4 of your top 5 scorers gone in the blink of an eye. All of them had eligibility remaining. So this is going to be a very different roster next fall when they take the ice at 3M Arena at Mariucci.
Yeah, so a bummer for the Golden Gophers and Bob Motzko for sure. Hey, Jazz, I know you got a run game coming up with the Devils. Thanks, as always, for the time.
Always great to talk hockey, Steve. You have a great evening.
All right. There he is, Jess Myers from the Pioneer Press, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. One thought, you got four players who immediately sign deals and end up in the NHL. And you got to wonder, when these guys get to the postseason, are they 100% focused on what's going on with the Golden Gophers? Or are they thinking, if we get beat tonight, I'm going to be in the NHL next week? And it is what it is, and that's the goal, to ultimately take the next step and ideally make a living. But you got to wonder, you know, it's kind of like, so we got beat. See you guys. 10 minutes now in front of 5 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
NCAA tournament scores. Then all the news and weather at 5. And then much more. Andy Gritter will join us, and he'll talk Golden Gopher hoops. Nico Medved is aboard, and the Loons play tonight on what figures to be a tough night at Allianz Field on the Midway in St. Paul. All right, men's tournament, Texas Tech, Florida. This is the Elite Eight, Alabama and Duke, coming up later on. Then on Sunday, Tennessee, Houston in the early game, the late game, Michigan State and Auburn, Tom Izzo. For my money, Tom Izzo has moved. He's always been one of my favorites, not only in the Big Ten, but around the country. I just feel like, you know, sure, Mike Krzyzewski, you know, the numbers, you got John Wooden way back in the day. Tom Izzo is my favorite. I was never a Mike Krzyzewski fan, and Duke, and the smugness, if you will. Is smugness a word? Lindsay, I'm not even sure. But I love Tom Izzo. For my money, he is my favorite college hoops coach of all time. Love Tom Izzo. So I got to get that in there. And once again, I'm not sure if smugness is a word. Women's tournament. UConn leading Oklahoma early, 12-10. Paige Backers, certainly. Hometown hero playing for the Huskies in that one. They're still in the first half. Later on, Kansas State, USC. It is a final. Texas beat Tennessee 67-59. Remember when Tennessee ruled college women's hoops? Pat Summitt, way back in the day, the late, great Pat Summitt. TCU beat Notre Dame 71-62. And then on Sunday, Duke, South Carolina, and LSU and UCLA, a couple of very good games there. And then Monday, TCU, Texas, and the other game to be determined on Monday night by what goes on today. So you're up to date on what's going on in the NCAA men's and women's tournament. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Let's get an update on that weather and tell you about that in a moment. Light rain, 38. Northeast winds at 14, gusting to 20. Rain likely in the early evening hours. That'll change to a wintry mix. And we've really got it all. Rain, snow, sleet overnight tonight, a low near 32. Maybe a half an inch here in the city. And then on Sunday, rain, snow, freezing rain, and sleet. Possible throughout the day and a high near 36, and it will be windy, clearing out Sunday night, low 27. Monday, sunny 41, our expected high. Then chance rain or snow again midweek, but for the Twins home opener, not bad. Sunny in 46. It's April. We'll get all the news. We'll get all the weather at 5 here on the CCO. Weather has certainly moved in. We've got rain and wind, and we're going to get snow and sleet, and that's going to be with us through tomorrow. Quick update on a major story earlier today. Early this afternoon, a single-engine plane crashed into a home in the northeast corner of Brooklyn Park. This is near West River Road and Noble Parkway, right up in the northeast corner of Brooklyn Park. We have learned that that plane was en route from Des Moines to the Anoka County Blaine Airport. The video has surfaced, video from a nearby home showing the plane going almost straight down. And there's a lot of video circulating on social media, etc., of a home being destroyed. Neighbors believe the people that lived in the home were out of town on vacation, and it is not known how many passengers were on that small plane. The FAA is investigating, but once again, a small plane crashed into a home in the northeast corner of Brooklyn Park, right near the border with Champlin, right near the Mississippi River, and it's not expected. Or it looks as though there were no survivors on the plane, but we don't know how many people were aboard that small plane. Of course, the fire was put out, the home was completely destroyed, and as soon as we have any more information, we will bring that to you. But the FAA is on the scene and investigating, but it is unknown how many or who was on that plane, a small plane that left Des Moines and was traveling to the Anoka County Blaine Airport, just over the river from where that plane went down early this afternoon. I happened to live in that neck of the woods and drove by the scene after the crash, and as you can imagine, it was a chaotic scene. But neighbors report the people that lived in that house that were destroyed or was destroyed apparently are out of town. So let's get an update on what's going on over at the U with the Golden Gophers and Balloons tonight at Allianz Field. And our go-to guy, Andy Greeter from the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com. Andy, good to visit with you as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Steve. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Early season and late season events at Allianz Field can be an adventure for the supporters. Tonight will be one of those.
Yeah, it's not looking pleasant outside. It's raining. I'm driving to the stadium now. It's raining, as you talked about in the forecast. It's kind of a wintry mix tonight. It's going to be a little chilly. But as long as there's no thunderstorms, the game will go on. It just might be a sloppy mess there at Allianz Field.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and I'm sure the supporters will be prepared. Let's talk about the Loons off to a solid start, but it's fair to say five in, missed opportunities, goals conceded late, leads given up, etc. It could be better than the 2-1-2 they have so far.
Yeah, they're sitting in fourth place in the Western Conference, so a good position, like you said, through five games. But it could be a lot better. They gave up a three-goal lead, first time in club history that they gave up a three-goal lead 2 weeks ago at Kansas City and drew that game 3-3. And then they gave up two different one-goal leads last week against the defending MLS Cup champion LA Galaxy, including the second goal in the 90th minute. So they have not been able to close out games recently, and it's kept them from having a much better record.
Yeah, and Andy, it's got to be extremely frustrating for Eric Ramsey because the sense has been it has been about, you know, defending and defending properly and starting there and moving forward. So it's got to be extremely frustrating for him.
Yeah, it's his calling card. It's the thing that he focuses first and foremost on is having a tight defensive shape and limiting goals. And for the first 3.5 games, they were one of the best in the league at it. They were great down the stretch last season as they went to the Western Conference semifinals defensively. So this last, you know, game and a half, it's been a problem for them. Last game was a little bit of a, you can kind of explain that a little bit. They had five players away for international duty, including their two of their center backs, their starting goalkeeper. And some of the issues that they had on that second goal conceded on a set piece were kind of because of some of the young defenders not being as locked in as they probably should have been. So you can kind of explain it away a little bit. Those guys are now back. I'd imagine a fair amount of them will play here tonight. So, yeah, they're going to certainly want to tighten up defensively as they try to get 3 points tonight against Real Salt Lake.
All right, Andy, and what does Real Salt Lake bring to the table? They're 2-3 on the year.
Yeah, it's a rematch of last year's first-round playoff matchup, which the Loons won both games of and swept RSL. I got a story on TwinCities.com right now of Dane St. Clair reliving the two penalty kick shootouts. The Loons won both of those, and he has saved one shot of those 10 attempts that he had, and he had varying antics to try to throw off RSL and was successful in having them either hit the woodwork or put the ball over the net, and the Loons were able to win against RSL last year. Eric Ramsey yesterday said that they played in preseason and there was a, quote, an edge to the game. There was certainly a carryover from the way things were in the playoff series a year ago. They're a little bit different now. Cristiano Arango is gone. He's with San Jose now. He was a big part of their scoring punch for the majority of last season. He cooled off at the end of the year, but he's gone. So they've had trouble scoring goals. They've got four goals in five games. They've been pretty inconsistent. They've been alternating wins and losses throughout the season so far. So it's certainly a winnable game for the Loons.
All right. It'll be the Loons. And once again, Real Salt Lake tonight at Allianz Field. 7:30 start on that one. Available on Apple TV, and I don't see the free by that. I really look up and down that schedule for the free games on Major League Soccer, so you got to buy in if you're going to see it on Apple TV tonight.
That's true. They play next week on Sunday. I think that'll probably be a nationally televised game at New York, so that might be an opportunity for you and for others that don't have the MLS season pass to watch the Loons live next weekend.
Yeah, and they do get some free games on Apple TV. I've got the app. It's ready to go. So I certainly get excited.
Those are just a little bit intermittent. You don't really know exactly. Yeah. And I just was looking ahead to the schedule, and I think that game will be another opportunity just because it's at a quirky time and will likely, hopefully, be on for people that don't have the package.
Yeah, there you go. Andy, big news over at the U. Not a surprise when Ben Johnson was let go at the end of the men's basketball season. Nico Medved's name came forward pretty quickly. And as soon as Colorado State was eliminated from the NCAA tournament, Mark Coyle didn't take long to get Nico Medved signed, and now he's aboard, and he's got work to do.
He certainly does. They had two players from their recruiting class that signed under Ben Johnson ask out of their national letters of intent. There's one other recruit that is yet to kind of say which direction he's going, if he's going or if he's staying in Minnesota. So they have 13 scholarships to offer, and they currently have two players, the two freshmen in last year's class, Isaac Osama and Grayson Grove, said late this week that they're going to be sticking around. But that's 11 out of 13 players that are going to be new, maybe 10 if Kai Schoholster decides to stay. But, yeah, he was brought in knowing that it was going to be a big rebuild after what happened last year and kind of how senior-heavy that roster was. And it's certainly bailing out that way right now. There hasn't been a lot of steam or talk of who they've offered, who they're interested in. There's a couple of names that have come out, but it's kind of early days. I saw something earlier today that there are over 1,300 players in the transfer portal. So pretty much everybody's in it. And that's where they're going to have to live to put together a roster for next season.
Yeah, and the sense is this isn't going to change anytime soon. I don't think there's any, you know, strong momentum on the school side, the NCAA side, and for that matter, you know, the players aren't particularly organized as a group. It's not like in pro sports per se, where there's collective bargaining agreements, et cetera, that limit player movement. It's probably going to be like this for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I don't see any sort of rules coming in to stop some of these transfer issues that they have. I think the biggest one is just the annual basis of it, right? I think everyone is in favor of players being able to move between teams, but I think it's gotten crazy to the sense of you're playing on four or five different teams throughout your college career. I think that's just way too much. They initially tried to just do it one time free transfer. That went out the window almost immediately.
Yeah.
You know, they've got transfer portal windows. So it opened on Monday and it'll be open, I think, for 30 days. So that's a guideline that they have to kind of put it in certain windows to kind of have this is the time that you do the business and this is when you're able to build a roster and have different windows to do it that way. And they're trying to introduce contracts, especially when it comes to NIL money and rev share money, to get these players to lock in. But those contracts are just coming online here in the last year. And it looks at this point that they're just annual contracts. It'd be nice if they're able to extend those so you're able to have some roster continuity, that you're able to develop players. Fans are able to get to know players. That's one big gripe that I hear from Gopher fans and from sports fans in general is just how transient it is and how you don't know who's on your team from year to year, and it's difficult to root for them when they're just mercenaries and they come and go as freely as they do. Hopefully there are some things that come online, but the NCAA is really toothless because they, you know, don't have a leg to stand on because the courts don't care for them, just given some of the antitrust things that they run up against at the Supreme Court and elsewhere.
Yeah, and it seems to me the only way is to get players to sign contracts with the schools that in some way, shape, or form are binding. But then again, is all it would take is one player or an attorney to challenge that and win in a court somewhere, and then we're right back to just a free-for-all. And I am not denying that the players have a right to go out. I mean, let's face it, coaches in some way, shape, or form have been free agents for a long, long time and have been able to tear up their contracts or buy out their contracts and move on to better opportunities. And for the players to have that ability, I'm not opposed to it, but what's going on right now is just a free-for-all.
Yeah, I agree, and there are instances where there was one, I don't want to get into specifics, but there was one football player in the Big Ten that signed a contract with a school and wanted to get out of it. And the school was like, no, you signed a contract here. And there was a dispute, but the school wasn't really saying that they weren't letting him out of the contract. So it looked like the school was just upset that the kid wanted to transfer. So you didn't have the understanding of what the context was with the kid. So they did try to fight back when he did sign a contract, but they ultimately let him go and you know, transfer to another school. So, you know, they're trying in certain regards to try to make it a little bit more common sense, but it's been a struggle.
Yeah. And for the people trying to sort it out, good luck in all of that. Hey, Andy, we always appreciate the time and your coverage in the Pioneer Press and online at TwinCities.com.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Take care.
There he is, Andy Greener, Pioneer Press. He'll have coverage of the Loons and Real Salt Lake tonight, 7:30, Allianz Field on the Midway. Wild in action today. They're taking on the New Jersey Devils, part of a home-and-home. They'll be in Jersey to play the Devils, what, I think that's Monday night? They get the Devils? Yeah, Monday night, March 31st. So here against New Jersey, and then there against the Devils on Monday night. Timberwolves are our idol. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show with our good friend Kevin Lynch from FanDuel Sports Network. The Timberwolves kind of riding the roller coaster. Some nights really bad and some nights really good. Can they squeeze into the top six? It might be tough. Looks like they'll be in the postseason, but may have to go through the play-in tournament. We'll get into all of that a little bit later on. By the way, Twins drop game two of the year in St. Louis. The final 5-1. We'll have more on that in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Not a great weather weekend here or downriver in St. Louis. They were able to get the game in today on time. Fortunately, the Cardinals beat the Twins 5-1 in game two of the three-game set. Fetty the winner, Alcala the loser in relief in the ball game today. Joe Ryan today, 5 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, struck out 5, didn't walk anybody, all good. Alcala got hit, 2 runs, or I should say 2 hits, 3 runs, all of those earned a walk. So he takes a loss. Johan Duran gave up a run later in the game, but the Twins couldn't get it going offensively. And once again, Gino had the key number in the first two games of the year. Walner, Correa, and Buxton at the top of the Twins order so far, 0-23. And when you got Correa and Buxton, your two big money guys, I know Roy Lewis not available. He's injured again. But when you're getting no production out of the top 30 of your lineup, you're going to struggle. And they get beat 5-3 in the opener Thursday and 5-1 today. They'll try tomorrow in St. Louis. And quick update on the weather. In St. Louis, doesn't look particularly good. Now, not nearly as bad as here tomorrow. You certainly wouldn't want to be playing a game here with the rain, the snow, and the sleet, etc. But there is rain in the forecast for St. Louis. Here's the deal. Chance showers and thunderstorms tomorrow, and it'll be cloudy and a high near 75. Chance of rain 70%, and it will be windy. And that chance of showers and thunderstorms lingers Sunday night. Now, the Twins don't go back to St. Louis this year, obviously. Just one series with the Cardinals this year at Busch Stadium. It looks like later in the day or tomorrow night, the weather could be better to get the ball game in. So we'll see how they play. We do know this. We've got Corso at 10, and then inside Twins at noon, the lineup card at 12:30, and then from there we'll play it by ear. Twins and Cardinals, final game of the three-game series, in the Twins head for Chicago, and a three-gamer with the White Sox. They open at home Thursday against Houston at Target Field, and it will be cool but sunny at Target Field the way it looks on Thursday. So you're up to date on that. And just a bit of audio from the game today, and Twins manager Rocco Baldelli talked about the game and just saying, you know, hey, the first two games have not gone our way.
We had a long season to go. We played two games. I'm not sweating two ball games. I think there were a lot of positive things that we saw out there from our guys. You know, and a lot of the times the confidence comes, you start breaking an inning open and a game open, and some of those line drives find some grass and guys are running around the bases. It's amazing what happens.
Yeah, and it's amazing. My longtime friend, Craig Schrepfer, who was a producer here at CCO, now he's over at Channel 4. Way too early to panic, and we'll go with that. Quick break. We have an update on the weather. It doesn't look pretty here in the Twin Cities through tomorrow night. We'll have details on that. And then Kevin Lynch will join us. We'll talk Timberwolves and where they stand in the NBA playoff picture. It looks like they'll get in to the postseason, but they may not avoid the play-in tournament. That is on the way here on News Talk. E3OWCC. Twins got beat by the Cardinals 5-1 earlier today. They'll try tomorrow in rainy St. Louis. Our coverage begins at noon with Inside Twins. Right now we're going to talk Timberwolves. They are idle. They'll play the Pistons tomorrow night at Target Center, 6 o'clock start. Coming off a Friday night win over the Suns, 124-109. And they're still kind of on the brink. Right now at the moment, 8th. In the NBA's Western Conference. That would be the play-in tournament. But only a half game behind number 6, the LA Clippers, and the Timberwolves have just 8 games to go in the regular season. Kevin Lynch joins us from FanDuel Sports Network. And Kev, always good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing okay, Steve. It's always good to hear your voice, my friend. It always takes me back to our time that we spent up in Alaska, in Anchorage, eating crab legs and going to movies. It was great.
Well, and the thing about that, Kevin and I were doing road games for a couple of years, Golden Gopher men's basketball. Dave Lee was doing the home games. It was really an unusual arrangement, but it was a lot of fun. And I think I ate halibut most of my meals up there. And if not, you're right, crab legs. I mean, we definitely did the seafood. Even on Thanksgiving, it's like, I want some halibut. I don't care about turkey. I can get that at home.
I know, man. It's like my whole life I've been eating turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and gravy. I can change it up one Thanksgiving. I'm okay with that. Yeah, king crab legs. I mean, I remember when we were up there, it's like, all right, it's like I want some king crab. When you're in Alaska, you got to do what the locals do, and there you go.
Yeah, it was amazing. That fresh-caught seafood, hard to beat that whenever you get to travel to any of the coasts, for sure. Kev, the Timberwolves, it's really been a roller coaster ride. You know, early on we were saying, well, you know, there's new guys. You got Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo coming over. Cat's gone. It's going to take a while. And it just seems as though sometimes they play really well. They blew out the Suns on Friday night. But then, you know, earlier in the week against Indiana, they didn't look good at all. So it's really a hard team to figure out.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, it has been a frustration, especially with the way the season went last year and getting to the Western Conference Finals. Yeah, they kind of laid an egg in the West Finals, but against Dallas. But they had a really good season, and you know, the season last year, the Wolves started the first three games. They were 1-2, did not play well the first three games. And then literally like a month or a month and a half later, they were like 23-5. I mean, they just, right after those first three games, they got on a roll and just everything was in sync. And it just struck early on, like I said, that fourth game on, they just they figured it out and they started mowing down teams. And this year has been, like you said, you don't know what you're going to get. It's just, I mean, the way I see it, it's like they take a step or two forward, then they take a step back, then a step forward, then a step back. And it's been the entire season. And when I realized that's how it was going for the Wolves, it was probably a third of the way in, maybe, you know, December. It's like I started to notice this pattern with the Timberwolves. And my first thought was they got to get out of this pattern, and it's got to be either a coaching decision or a trade, sometimes a trade, you know, before the trade deadline in February can alter whatever negative pattern you're in, but they haven't been able to do it. They just have not been able to get out of this pattern, and here we go. We're approaching April, and they're still doing this, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, and it's not easy to point at one thing, like it's one guy or they're not doing this well, because, yeah, you know, once again, Friday night, they had no trouble with the Suns, and the Suns have their own issues. I think we're starting to see Kevin Durant, and just a sidebar on that, there's a lot of talk that maybe Kevin Durant could end up in Minnesota next year. I mean, there's been rumors because, you know, Kat and he are buddies now, and so on and so forth. Great player, great career, but I don't know. I don't see it, or how it's a benefit. Because once again, you know, Father Time's undefeated, and, you know, Kevin Durant's been around a while.
Yeah, no, it's I've heard that rumor too. I don't know if I see that happening. It just seems like, you know, he's been a great player, but
yeah.
You just kind of, I mean, it's like, what? Look at what's going on in Phoenix. I mean, that's been, I mean, they built that team to get, I mean, the big problem for the Suns to me was getting Bradley Beal and taking on that contract. So getting Durant at the time to put with Booker, okay, I was like, I like that. But then they went with the wrong third guy in Beal and his monstrous contract. You know, had you gotten, like, say, a Jimmy Butler instead of Bradley Beal, then that might have really worked potentially. But no, you're right. I mean, it's almost like you've grown, you know, and if you're going to trade for Durant, if that's what the Wolves eventually do, you know, you're probably giving up Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels or something like that. And you've really grown with those guys the last five seasons. And it's easy always to kind of get some, you know, star player that's been, you know, who's you know, up there in age, and to kind of get drunk on a guy like Durant or whoever else you're talking about that's been around a long time, and you kind of get, you slip off the track of being a team like a franchise like Minnesota, where, you know, if you're going to win something big like an NBA championship, you got to draft well and you got to develop guys. That's how you win in Minnesota if you're an NBA franchise. So, and it's easy to pull the trigger on a Durant deal and kind of lose track of, you know, what's really going to get it done for you, and that's kind of drafting and developing. So I don't know if that's going to happen. That's down the road. But Phoenix, yeah, that's a team that's built to win a championship now, and look what's happened the last couple of years with the Suns. Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, and the Suns are not even close. They could still get into the play-in. They sit a game behind the Dallas Mavericks right now. So, you know, they could certainly get in, and then, you know, you never know. They could get hot and flip a switch. But the Timberwolves still have a chance to get into the top six. I'm intrigued to see the next game for the Timberwolves in this Detroit team. What a turnover. One of the dregs of the NBA for a number of years. They have turned it around. They're 10 games over. This is a team headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good example. You know, Detroit, it's like, you're right. I mean, in fact, I just read something this morning about the Pistons that this is with their win. I mean, they beat Cleveland. They beat Cleveland last night. And that, I mean, that's a great win and that's without Cade Cunningham. He didn't even play for the Pistons, and they still beat Cleveland. And with that win last night for the Pistons, Steve, that ensures that they will have a winning record in the first time since 2016 for Detroit. So, yeah, they've been a doormat for a long time, and they've lost a lot of games, and they finally, you know, you got a guy like Cunningham who's developed and really come on, but they've drafted some good young talent through the years, and they've gotten some key veteran guys like Malik Beasley's had a good season shooting the ball, former Timberwolf. Hardaway Jr., he's had a good season. Tobias Harris for a while earlier this year. So they got a few veteran guys that have played well and, you know, that have helped that team kind of develop. So But you feel good for those franchises that have forever been terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're coming on. I get sick and tired of the NBA when it's just, you know, it's the Clippers, it's the Lakers, it's the Heat, it's New York. It's just kind of the sexy franchises in the big cities or on the coasts. You need to have some of these other teams having success, too. To me, it's not a good look for the NBA if Detroit's forever terrible or Charlotte or whatever team you want to talk about. So, to me, it's a good thing.
Yeah, and no doubt, good challenge for the Timberwolves with just 8 games to go in the regular season, and the teams have identical record, Timberwolves and Pistons. That is a Sunday night tilt, 6 o'clock, Sunday night at Target Center, not Monday night, as maybe I mentioned. And then on Tuesday, they'll be out in Denver and take on the Nuggets, and they've certainly had success with the Nuggets. So some big games early in the week for the Timberwolves. Hey, Kev, always good to visit with you, and we'll visit down the road.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, there he is, Kevin Lynch, FanDuel Sports Network, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Big thanks to our producer, Lindsey Brown. I was on early before the ball game today, as Shaletta had the day off, and then here we are after the Twins 5-1 loss to the Cardinals. In a moment, we'll go outdoors with our good buddy Steve Kearney. Have one more update on the weather here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Rain and 36. Winter weather advisory goes into effect tonight at 10, continues until 4 on Sunday. Rain, snow, sleet, wind, not great, clearing out Sunday night. And then looks like another batch of weather in midweek. Let's go outdoors right now. Steve Kearney outdoors. This is a tough stretch for sure. Just not a lot to do in the outdoors.
No, Steve, we're suffering through this. It's just about to hit up in Lakes Country up here right now. We got snow and sleet coming through. And, yeah, the temperatures don't look very good for like 10, 14 days. And that's kind of unfortunate. We want the lakes to, you know, bust the ice and get things warming. But I think it's going to be delayed. And, you know, what do? You just got to put up with it.
Yeah, and really the only thing you can do is dream of open water and warmer temps and kind of getting everything ready. And electronics, I know you've talked about this over the years. When you go out and buy the latest and greatest, spend some time, get to know this, or it can be extremely frustrating out on the water, right, Steve?
Yep, you got that right, Steve. I was on Big Stone Traverse a couple days ago. That ice is left there, and those lakes are open right now. And, you know, the walleye season does not close on those border waters. And I spent most of my time playing with my electronics, trying to get them fine-tuned and checking my side imaging, trying to learn that and get the settings right. And I didn't catch a fish in 3 hours, which is, you know, very typical for, you know, this time of the year. The water temperature was 41. There's just nothing going on. But, you know, give it a couple of weeks. It'll happen. We just need to get some warmth, get those water temperatures up in the 50s, and fishing will, you know, get a lot better. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. That's what March is. And, you know, April will just get better. And then May and on those two bodies of water will be awesome. It always is.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that mode where the, you know, countdown to the opener is going to be. And once again, when you get these bad weather stretches and you really don't want to venture outside, good time to be in the garage and make sure all your gear is in order. I mean, this downtime can be beneficial, and make sure you've got everything ready to go.
Yeah, you know, now's the time to get your reels, you know, re-spooled and, you know, getting things organized in the boat, get your batteries charged and get things going. It'll happen. You know, I think things, you know, right now are pretty much normal. Ice out, I think, throughout, you know, Minnesota is going to be pretty much normal. A lot of lakes have opened up in southern Minnesota, a little bit in the southwest, and, you know, that'll continue to happen. So I think we're about where we should be. But lake levels, sloughs, you know, potholes are so low. We need rain. I mean, I saw this stuff coming in tonight, and it looks like a lot of rain, a lot of sleet. Bring it on. We really need it. The lakes are, you know, a good foot below where they should be. Sloughs are almost mud. We need precipitation bad, and we haven't had a really good, you know, snowpack. So, you know, relying on the rain. So we need it. Bring it on. And, you know, I hope we get a ton. I do.
All right, Steve, we'll do it again in a week. Talk to you then.
Hey, sounds good, Steve. You take care.
There he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney outdoors. Lindsey Brown is our producer. Lindsey, what about this weather? What are we going to do? We can't golf.
Oh, we can golf, Steve. You got some rain gloves. You got a cover for the bag.
Oh, no way.
Oh, see, I can do rain, but I can't do rain and cold. I was a high school golfer in the great state of Minnesota about a decade ago, and we had some very interesting rounds.
You and me both. Mine was not a decade ago. Mine was decades ago when I played high school golf. We played a match over at Midland Hills.
Great
course.
Right
here on 280. Really love Midland Hills. Probably 33 degrees, windy, and there were snowflakes in the air.
Ooh, I have also played that, not at Midland Hills, but at Bunker Hills. Lots of hills here, no mountains. But I think it was a practice round for the state golf championship. We went pretty much every year. And so that in March is normal to me. That in May/June, not so much.
Yeah, no, that is a bad deal. If you're going to play golf in the spring. But you know what? I'm not getting anywhere near the clubs. As a matter of fact, I saw a guy in the park hitting balls. And I know you're not supposed to do it, but I wasn't going to say anything to him. But in a park not far away from where I live. And I'm thinking to myself, it's good stuff. But it wasn't raining yet. I'm not doing that.
As long as it's a 53 or a 60 wedge, right? We're going to be just fine. As long as we're not taking full rippers.
Yeah, he didn't have the driver out. All right, Lindsey, great work today as always. Twins, not so great. They're 0-2 out of the gate. They'll try and play tomorrow in St. Louis. Rain in the forecast. By the way, Corzo at 10, inside Twins at noon. We'll keep our fingers crossed that they're able to get it in tomorrow. Once again, a big thanks to Lindsey Brown. Big thanks to you for tuning in. Rain, snow, sleet, real mixed bag. Winter weather advisory tonight through tomorrow afternoon. Take care. Drive safe. Here at News Talk, 830-WCCO.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.